You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The year is 1999, and young financial whiz Kareem Issar is working for the giant Wall Street firm Shrub Equities. Not long after arriving at Shrub, Kareem creates a computer program that predicts oil futures by analyzing political news stories. The program helps his firm reap record profits, and it moves Kareem up the corporate ladder. But he comes to realize that his career goals come with certain compromises, and that professional and personal evolution is the subject of Teddy Wayne's poignantly funny new novel, Capitoil, from Harper Perennial. It's already received some great reviews, including starred reviews in both Publishers Weekly and Booklist, and I'm very pleased that it brings Mr. Wayne to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Should I be surprised that someone with your background has written this novel? I mean, is it fair to say that this is not autobiographical?
It is not autobiographical. I got out of the debut novel autobiographical trap. If you can't tell, I'm white. I'm from New York.
Not from Qatar.
I'm not from Qatar.
Or any other country in the Middle East. You'd never worked on Wall Street?
I never worked on Wall Street, but I listened to your earlier segment today, so I boned up from that.
The last thing I read by you was a humor piece in the Sunday Times.
Yeah, it was a date with the Neanderthal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Times has been a nice place to publish lately.
And you have published a number of those kinds of humorous pieces. So how did you wind up writing this book?
Right. I've been writing humor, prose humor for magazines, websites, newspapers for about 5+ years. I did get an MFA at Washington University in St. Louis. So it's a comical novel, but I wouldn't describe it as a solely satirical novel. I think it's a serious novel with some, I hope, humorous punctuations.
Yeah, it's not a comic novel. It just, as you say, it has funny moments. And I expected a lot more laughs considering the things I'd read from you in magazines.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Well, I don't mean that in a bad way.
It
works very much as a novel. It begins in the fall of 1999, 2 years before September 11th. Is there any significance in that?
There is. I wanted to write about the post-9/11 political landscape, but I did not want to write a so-called 9/11 novel. I didn't think I had anything new to add to that mix.
A pre-9/11 novel.
So it's a pre-9/11 novel.
But it's also a Y2K novel, slightly.
Y2K, in that Y2K was a sort of displaced millennial anxiety I think we had at the time, which we were so concerned about computers malfunctioning. Of course, they didn't. And then about a year and 9 months later, something much more momentous happened.
Why do you have Kareem coming from Qatar rather than any of a number of other Middle Eastern countries?
A number of reasons. Qatar is the correct pronunciation. Sorry, Leonard.
It's okay.
Correcting your show.
I pronounce Jimmy Qatar as
Jimmy
well.
Jimmy Qatar, yeah.
Yes.
Richard Nixon. It is a hyper-capitalized country in the Middle East. About half its revenues derived from oil and natural gases. It has the second highest GDP per capita. So it's this very relatively westernized, modernized country for the region. And most importantly for this novel, it's not weighted down by history. It's not, if you were from Iran or anywhere else in the region, really, it'd be about that. But instead, it's from this relatively unfettered country where he can just be, if history is a nightmare from which he's trying to awake, it's his familial personal history, not national.
He doesn't have to answer for the Saudi princes.
Exactly.
And what's his background?
It's
his family background.
Middle class. His father is a humble storekeeper. His mother died when he was 13. His younger sister named Zahira. So it's a middle class background. He's self-taught. He went to night classes, studied computing, programming, mathematics, finance, all on his own. And he's come to New York in 99 to work for Shrub Equities.
You structured the book as a series of Kareem's journal entries. Is Kareem the sort of person who would keep a journal?
It's the first time he does it. He says he'll do it to learn about himself, to make observations he can remember. It's written in this techno-financial vocabulary, though. He's learned English through the worlds of finance, computing, technology. So everything is based in this sort of late capitalistic business jargon, argo.
Although he understands some of that, he does not understand basic American English.
Right. Idiomatic phrasings, he learns them as he goes through the book. He notes them at the back of each journal entry, and his language evolves as he spends time in New York.
The journal entries also allow us, the readers, to develop a connection with a man who has difficulties relating to people.
He does. He's a lot of people have felt he seems somewhat autistic or has a hard time expressing his emotions.
Asperger's.
A couple people have mentioned that as well. And my feeling was that throughout the book, he's getting exposed to a more humanistic side of himself through Rebecca, a coworker.
One of the more humorous moments in the book comes when Kareem writes, "Business manuals explain how valuable it is to have a sense of humor. So I am studying how others produce jokes, such as making a statement that is clearly the reverse of what you truly mean."
Yeah, that is a little statement about the heavy use of irony that both I and people my generation and everywhere in the U.S. really use. And it's something that he can't quite grasp, the paradox of saying what you don't fully believe. He's very earnest.
He also, it gives us a chance to see America through an outsider's eyes in our culture, like Jackson Pollock's paintings or baseball.
Right. There's a number of moments like that. He's exposed to so many different parts of American culture, fantasy baseball, real baseball, art. There's a lot about music, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, rock and roll that he goes to see. It's helpful that he's an alienated outsider, but not in the sense that we normally conceive of as alienated.
He includes definitions of certain words at the end of his journal entries. For example, alpha phi equals a social group for university females.
Yeah.
Shoot an email equals send an email, especially about business. Now, these are the things that come up in normal conversation that totally confound him.
They're all in dialogue in the book that he has heard and probably at the time not quite grasped, or maybe has used logic to figure them out. And there's a mix of both business jargon ones as well as ones that are just outside of the world of business.
After he arrives in New York, he notes, "Sometimes you do not truly observe something until you study it in reverse."
That is also on the back of the book. I felt like that was the key line for describing his outsider perspective, inverting American mores.
He develops this program soon after he arrives at Shrub and shows it to his coworker Jefferson. What is the program that he's developed?
The program, he calls it Capitoil. It takes news articles and analyzes the language of them, sifts through them, has some very sophisticated tool for figuring out what they're really saying, and then helps predict oil futures based on that. So he starts with New York Times articles. And
well, this is what people do in those brokerage houses?
They're certainly predicting based on news events is nothing new. People have been doing that forever or since the stock market was around. I think something of this degree of sophistication where it's looking at idiomatic usage of words is probably not quite feasible, but I think things are close to that now.
Mm-hmm. And it works, obviously.
Thanks for giving everything away. No, it does work.
I said that at the very beginning.
Page 40, it happens quickly, yes.
I'm not going to give everything away. Is he a practitioner of Islam?
He is. He's moderate. His father is much more conservative than he is. So that's another tension in the novel, that he is a moderate Muslim who's put up against all these temptations in New York City.
And his father is upset by the fact that he's become so Americanized, not in our eyes, but in his father's eyes.
Right.
One evening while he's watching a baseball game on television, he notices that in Iran there's a bombing at the French embassy. And that really helps him?
That's the beginning of his recognition that that American news is, first of all, I think that news is sort of not even front page news, he mentions. Mm-hmm. That it's sort of pushed to the back pages and no one really cares. But these things have a way of having a snowball effect in the media, so that if you even see an article that's on a small level, it gets magnified later and more and becomes something that I think stock market traders unconsciously reproduce in their actions.
Well, he writes, "I think I see a correlation between how frequently the New York Times discusses the Middle East and the fluctuations of oil prices or oil futures." So he's counting the number of mentions.
Yeah, he has a computer program to do
this
so.
This really does make sense, by the way, Teddy.
Yeah, maybe you should come up with a program.
Maybe you're in the wrong business.
I absolutely am. The money's not very good in this one.
And he uses the bombing as a springboard to write an algorithm.
He does, and it takes off throughout the novel. It gets better. He rises the corporate ladder, and it creates some moral tension for him later when he realizes he's essentially exploiting instability in the Middle East, and it comes up against his own value system.
Mm-hmm. Were you thinking along those lines when you started writing the book, where this novel would go?
I was. I had a general idea for it and an outline structured. And I did want to write something about this tension again between someone who has a very earnest, accepting idea of capitalism, but it still goes against his system in some way. So there's two father figures, his own father, who's this, as I said, more conservative Muslim man, who's very anti-Western, and Derek Shrubb, his boss of Shrubb Equities, who's a figure that changes throughout the novel, is this titan of industry that Kareem very much reveres, and who it's not clear where he stands morally throughout the book.
Well, the problem here is whether Capitoil is doing good or bad for the world.
And Kareem justifies it by saying these events will be happening no matter what. His program simply takes them, creates some profit out of them externally. But the question is, can you be a passive bystander and still consider yourself cleansed of any kind of guilt?
Now, it's a big leap from writing short magazine pieces to writing a novel. Novel, most people do short stories somewhere in between.
Right.
Was it difficult for you?
Well, you know, like everyone, I like to think I contain multitudes.
Writing journal entries in an odd way, you are writing the equivalent of magazine pieces, just writing a whole string of them.
Yeah, just writing 500 of them in a row. I was getting an MFA, so I've read books my whole life. I've always wanted to be a fiction writer. The humor writing thing almost came out by accident 5 or 6 years ago, just for fun, and it somehow became a means of somewhat paying the rent. I think it's a novel with some comedy and some comedic moments, but with an ultimately melancholy tone.
Well, you spelled Capitoil, Capitoil, which would lead people to think that this may have something to do with Das Kapital.
As with the epigraph, which is from Das Kapital. So, yes, it's you don't have to have read Das Kapital to enjoy this book.
Well, you get high marks for that. Ooh. The book, Teddy Wayne's Capitoil, has been given incredibly rave reviews, including, what did the Houston Chronicle say? Teddy Wayne equals, doing the sort of thing that Kareem does, equals a major literary talent. Is it going to your head?
It's divided by great humility.
Well, so there's another book in the works, I'm assuming.
I'm making small inroads on a new one.
Meanwhile, we have Capitoil, which is published by Harper Perennial. And my great thanks to you for being on our show today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.